When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome, everybody, to a remote podcast, the Rich Hills Golf Show podcast, episode 132. Myself, co-host Guy.
Yep.
Energy is low at the moment, but it's gonna rise back up.
The benefit for the listener is, and the viewer, that if we've got low energy, that should mean a bad podcast, but it means we're probably going to go do Lally, and it'll be a good podcast.
Let's set the scene.
We
are in, I say this a lot, your favorite place. I'm actually falling in love more the more times I'm coming back.
Yes, I would agree.
If you've not guessed it, we are here overlooking the old course at St. Andrews.
Yeah, if you are a podcast listener, I suggest you watch the podcast, the audio, the video version, even if it's just for 20 seconds to see the view, because it's phenomenal.
We're in the boardroom. This is where we actually filmed the Minwoo Lee podcast before he was a big time player.
Yeah.
You know, we got him early.
No one knew he was then.
We filmed that in here. So we're in the Old Course Hotel, beautiful hotel, which runs by the side of the 17th. Why we're a little bit low on energy right now is because we've just got off the golf course.
We have.
And not just any golf course. The golf course.
Arguably the most iconic and famous golf course on the planet.
I honestly, genuinely think it is number one.
Yeah, that and Augusta.
Yeah.
But I would probably, I feel like more non-golfers might still know of the old course, certainly in the UK.
Yeah, I think so. Well, if you said, where's the Masters played to a lot of non-golfers, they might not always connect it to Augusta. So yeah, this is it, old course. We actually managed to, this morning, tee off on the very, very, very opening tee time, 6:40 a.m.
It was phenomenal.
And we filmed a break 75, episode 6, which actually, you listen to this, we won't come out for a couple of weeks because we've got episode 5, but actually two Break 75 back to back, they're absolute crackers.
Yeah, I think the old course is phenomenal. It's outstanding. It's beautiful. It's the home of golf, literally. The old course with grandstands up is just like, it's like it's on steroids.
It's magic. So, yeah, obviously the Open, the 150th Open is this year. It's what, probably about 8 weeks away?
I keep saying six, but I don't know if it's less than that.
Let me just check.
Oh, that was that was really cool. What else was with your phone then?
Hey Siri, how many weeks till the 8th of July?
It's 7 weeks until then.
That was really quick, that.
7 weeks. I think it's this. Oh, it's the 11th. But that, so, yeah, 7 and a bit weeks.
But we won't give any spoilers of Break 75 yet because you don't want to know. You want to obviously watch the video, and you should watch the videos because they are very, very, very good.
Unreal.
But the reason we are here is not only for Break 75, for some other filming that will be hitting people's screens, phone screens, laptop screens, TV screens, not quite cinema screens, or is it?
Oh, VR screens.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to, if you're in the metaverse.
Yeah.
Should we rewind? Right. So we came up on Saturday afternoon and we got into town almost exactly the same time at 6:30. We're staying in these apartments that are just out of this world.
We've been very lucky at St. Andrews when we've been to stay in some lovely hotels. We're in one now, the Old Course Hotel. It's phenomenal. It literally looks onto the golf course and it's part of the golf course, isn't it?
It is.
You have to hit over it. There's also Russocks up the road, a lovely hotel we stayed at where you kind of walk out of the front and you're almost on the 18th fairway. But this time we were in a little apartment, which we weren't too sure on because we'd never been there before. It was the best thing since sliced bread.
I feel now because we are literally locals.
Yeah.
Like we're walking down the street now. Hi, Barry. How you doing? How's the grandchildren?
Yeah. Mate, my name's Phil. Who are you? You're not
Maureen, how are those plants doing? Hope they're bedded in all right for you. But yeah, we have been very here a lot recently, which is amazing, obviously. But yeah, we're in these apartments on South Street.
Yeah.
We paid for the apartments, so we're not going to give them a full shout out, but they were absolutely phenomenal.
It was a combination of, they were really nice, they were fresh. They've only been open, I think, for 2 weeks, so the decor was class. I nearly said the decor was to die for. I don't know why I stopped myself. That would have been a bit weird. The decor was decent. But it was literally a 3-4 minute walk from the golf course, right in the middle of the town. You've got a Tesco nearby. Yeah. You've got a cool pizza place.
I like how you start with Tesco.
But I like having a Tesco nearby because you know if you've got your toothpaste,
security.
You've got it. Yeah, a bit of security. Yeah.
Well, I forgot my shaving gel.
Exactly. And you got some.
I did.
Because it was so close.
And people might think, well, why do you need shaving gel, Rick?
I thought that, the underneath bit.
Under neck, just in case anybody's wondering.
And that'll have to get muted. Sorry.
How's this going so far?
Just, huh?
How's this going so far?
It's flat. Not really. It's flat, but that's fine. Flat as a We just had a little wobble then. We weren't sure if this was too flat. We would have to delete the podcast. We decided to keep it. So if there's a jump cut there, that's why.
We had a board meeting in the boardroom about where this. Right, we need to bring the energy. Bring the energy. Right. So once we got to St. Andrews, we checked into our apartment. Really amazing. Like I say, we decided to wander, as golfers do around St. Andrews, with our golf clubs. First thing we did, golf clubs on the back. And we marched along with intent.
This is a lot of energy now.
I know. Yeah, with intent, because we were going to go and do a grind.
We were
going
to go to driving
session.
Range. We were going to hit balls. I was excited. We got towards the golf course, to the driving range, and it was shut, full of like grandstands and all the stuff that when they opened here, all the tented villagey stuff. And I think a lot of it's the TV production stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, hospitality and whatever. The shop is on the driving range.
Yeah, so.
So we're a bit gutted about that.
So we did chip in.
We did.
I destroyed you.
Which is probably the bit of the game I should be practicing.
And you were. And you were decent.
I hit the green a few times.
But you've got the same problem as me. I'm good at my driver on the driving range and not that good on the golf course, which is frustrating. You're actually quite good at chipping on the chipping green.
Yeah.
They don't always take to the golf course.
Yeah.
So it's hard to like practice it more. You're like, well, I'm practicing and it's working.
Yeah.
It's that confidence.
So it almost becomes more frustrating. So yeah, we bumped into Iona Stephen, who comes later in the story as well, on the 17th tee. She was teeing off, knocked it over the clubhouse, over the hotel, great drive. We spent a bit of time on the chipping green. And then we decided to do something a little bit daft. We decided to earn our tee.
Yes.
So we went on a 10K run.
We did a 10K, which is about 6 miles. around the golf course, around the town, and you were fast. I was quite impressed with your pace. Well, I hadn't eaten a lot that day. That was my excuse. So I felt a bit lightheaded and I wasn't going to go for the run. I said, you go, I'll stay in the apartment. I'll have a scroll on my phone. I'll work my thumb.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what? I'll feel good if I've gone with you. So we went out and your pace was pretty impressive.
All right, good.
Yeah, it's good. I felt like I was dying straight away, to be fair. I was hating it. But we did the run. We went down again, round the golf course, back into town, near this bit of the harbour at the front, this like little pier. It was so good. There were students having kind of
like a beach party. Like
they weren't loitering in a bad way, but they're kind of loitering on the beach. Yeah, couple of cans,
in like a posh St. Andrew student type of way.
Exactly.
Like there was a fire. There was probably a bit of caviar. They were popping champagne.
Yes.
It's not like drinking Lambrini on the streets, like probably you and me did back in the day.
Exactly.
Like it's high class. Loitering.
Yes.
But that was an amazing part of the town.
Oh, it was unbelievable, and I kind of annoyed I'd not seen it before. Yeah. But it was great.
If you don't know about it, it's kind of behind the cathedral. It's probably the best description. If anybody is coming to St. Andrews, it's kind of behind. And we ran back into town. We did our 10K. We beat 50 minutes.
We did, which was good.
And we burnt off enough Callaways to go and
Callaways?
It's been a long couple of days. We burnt off enough calories to go and have a pizza. So we went and got a pizza.
We went on a Pro V1.
Oh, I'm not sure about this one, but we'll keep going. We went and got pizza and then we had a bit of an early night because the next day, this was the main event.
Yes.
And then today is kind of the somewhat dessert. Topped it a little bit. But
today
was
the dessert.
Yeah, that's a good way of starting. We had our starter. We had our starter, our run, our false call to driving range. The main course was a day and quite literally 13 hours of shooting videos. In conjunction with the Open.
Yes.
In conjunction with the One Club presented by MasterCard.
Nice.
And how epic are some of these challenges?
So you filmed these videos that are mostly going to live on the Open's YouTube channel. So make sure you go and check them out in a couple of weeks when they're live. Rick will point you in the right direction on social media, etc. Yeah, that way.
But some of the challenges, there's many times... Either I've been interviewed, I've been on other podcasts, or even just chat to people if I'm meeting fans in the street, and they'll say, like, what's your highlight? What is, like, one of the best things you've done? And it's sometimes hard because you can, I did this and I did that. Honestly, some of the things yesterday, it was almost like four or five epic, life, once-in-a-lifetime opportunities in one day.
Well, you went from playing golf with a 5-time Open champion, Tom Watson, 8-time major winner, and you also hit balls off a roof, which is quite random. So it was a contrast of like crazy things you'll never get to do because it's just you will never get to hit balls off this roof again because you won't ever be allowed.
So that was it. We hit golf balls. Me and Iona did a challenge where we're hitting golf balls from the roof of this hotel down to the 17th green.
I actually can't believe they got like insurance to do it.
I didn't sign any paperwork.
You could have hit a person. Oh,
with my accuracy.
You hitting it left, actually.
I hit some good shots.
You did some very good shots. 175, was it? 180 downhill? I can't remember.
Well, I was hitting 5 iron. It was 190.
Oh, yeah.
It was a long, long way. So that was cool. So some videos come in that. And then, like I say, I met up with Tom Watson. What, honestly, I kind of wish, and we spoke about it after, I do kind of wish I'd lived in that era a little bit. Watson, Nicholas, Player... Like, I feel like that era would have been pretty special.
Well, to win 5 majors is an unbelievable career. Rory's won 4, and he's obviously a bit of a legend in the game, and rightly so. He's not won 5 majors, he's won 8 majors, but he's won 5 Opens.
Like, it's mad.
It's outrageous.
So, again, not to give too much away, we filmed a video where it was me and Tom Watson around the old course. Not in a way that you would expect.
No, it was unreal to see him play golf. Like, he's obviously 72, I believe, now. He still is an unbelievable golfer. I don't know if you saw this, actually. Somebody, when we did, there was another challenge later on where he was with a junior golfer, and he asked a junior golfer, what was his handicap? And I think he said, like, 8. He's about to, Tom, what's yours? And he said, oh, about a scratch, which he probably would be about a scratch now. Yeah. But... when you actually watch him hit it, he doesn't hit it miles obviously anymore, but just so straight. And oh, I'd love to see him around the normal golf course.
I would.
What he would actually do. Imagine him playing the club champs at normal golf club. I bet he'd wipe the floor with most people still.
What I found fascinating as well, we had him for a period of time. Obviously, he's a busy man. And he stepped up on the first tee. And he had a few practice swings. That was it.
Yeah.
Teed up with driver and just middled it. And it was going nowhere else apart from where he said it was going to go.
And apparently he's up here for a few weeks and he's been playing a lot of golf. You can tell he actually loves his golf.
Yeah, he really does.
And he was such a nice... You always expect and hope these people to be pleasant, which he was. But sometimes somebody of his caliber who's been there, done it for so long could be a little bit sure of themselves, a bit short, kind of want to just get in and out. That couldn't have been further from the truth. He was so nice and so charming.
Even like the stories he was telling, like he was so good with his time. So that video will be coming out soon and it's absolutely epic. And then we continued to film three or four more videos and we ran, like I say, from 5:30 in the morning and I think the shoot probably ended, was it about 6:30?
At night, yeah. It was a long, long day.
So 13 hours, loads of videos. We then... I had a couple of beers in the jigger in.
Yeah, standard.
A couple of Guinnesses for me.
Yeah, yeah, you Guinness in.
Onion rings.
Yes.
Chunky chips.
Yes.
And then we actually decided to eat tea in there.
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of food yesterday.
I think we deserved it though.
Yeah, you did.
Burnt a lot of calories. And then, to be honest, we were gonna hit the Dunvegan.
Hit it hard.
And watch the PGA Champs. But we were knackered.
Yeah.
So, I apologise right now. I know everybody tunes into this podcast to listen to strokes gains, to listen to which coach is using which method with certain pros.
Yeah.
What stimp the 13th
that was like a pair.
The 13th green was rolling at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like you to have some general knowledge of the tournament. You didn't watch a single shot, did you?
I watched it a little bit on Thursday.
No, I didn't watch much.
Tiny bit on Friday.
It was hard because we were here away and by the time it was coming on at night, we were literally goosed.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, I'm quite happy Justin Thomas won and like him. And he's a great, great player. We've said it before. For me personally, the PGA ranks bottom of the majors. And I think most people would agree. It's literally, for most people, it's a toss up between the Masters and the Open, then the US Open, then the PGA. You've done polls before online and seen that. Ironically, just a quick note, I asked Tom Watson.
This was interesting.
I said to Tom Watson, what's your favourite, the Masters or the Open? And naively, only gave him those two options, which is a bit silly. He said the US Open, because he's a national Open. Obviously, he's an American guy. And when he was a youngster, I think his dad had said to him something along the lines of, if you ever win the US Open, you've kind of made it, because you've beaten the best players at the hardest golf courses, which is, to be fair, they are hard golf courses, and you're playing against the best players.
He's like coming back from overseas and going, Dad, I won the Open. He's like, don't talk to me until you win the US Open.
Yeah, then, exactly.
Dad, I've done it again. I've won the Open. Yeah, but if you like, he won it five times.
Well, the only one they didn't win, ironically, was the PGA.
Yeah.
But back onto the PGA, it's for me, the leaderboard was full of, it was, I don't know, I just didn't get excited by it, which I saw other people online saying the same, and it's wrong, because at the end of the day, it's the top level of professional golf. Tiger withdrew. He doesn't look good, does he? It looks like it's hard work for him.
It does. There was definitely a glimpse of great golf, but his Saturday round after he made the cut was pretty shocking.
But it's the walking for me. You see him even walk to the first tee, and he must be, to some degree, fixed. He wouldn't put himself through it, you wouldn't imagine. But it doesn't look comfortable.
I'm semi-hoping he's kind of saving himself for this place in July.
Well, the good thing here is it's quite flat, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is obviously parts of elevation, but it's quite a flat golf course. You can hit irons on some of the holes, and just if it gets hot and baked again, you can just iron it round.
You don't have to be super long.
No.
So he's not as if he's going to give up, because that was really interesting seeing him play on Thursday, like how far behind he is of Rory, obviously, but even Spieth. And Spieth isn't known to be one of the longest, and I'm thinking, oh God, that looks quite hard work for him, really. But yeah, around here, I think the only challenge is when he's walking around, obviously, the old course, is, you know, when you're on the greens and you get those real undulations, and that's going to put a lot of pressure on ankles and you know, other areas of his legs. But yeah, so the PGA was a bit of a funny one. Obviously, Justin Thomas won it in a playoff with Will Zalatoris. Bit of a nightmare for that.
Is it Pierre or Pereira?
Pereira on the last hole when he made double to kind of miss out on the playoff. Bit of a nervy swing on the last tee, but yeah, it's a bit of a weird, hard to get excited about. And I feel like I'm wrong about talking about it because I didn't watch enough of it, basically. Yeah.
I think I would have watched more if we were at home, definitely. Yeah. And I would have watched more if a player that I can root for was doing better. But speaking of somebody messing up towards the end of the round without giving it away for break 75. And I know people like to bother up my score clearly, but I semi blew it towards the end. And my card doesn't matter what I shoot really. I don't know how professional golfers do it. Like, no. When you've got the lead of a major or even doing well in a major, how do they not just blast it out of bounds? I don't understand how you can hit those golf shots under so much pressure. It's mad.
Kind of understand this idea of being like a shot behind, two shots behind. Because you've got to step up there and you've got to hit it. Yeah. Where being ahead, it's like so kind of like you just want to steer it, don't you? Like, all you want to do is not do anything wrong. Where when you're behind, you have to do things right.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you definitely, certainly your front nine, and you went on a real run. Your iron play was phenomenal today, and your putting was really good. Like I say, we don't want to give too much away from the video, but 16 and 17 kind of chewed you up and spat you back out
a
little bit.
That's why I came off the golf course. I don't want to come off a golf course ever in a mood. It's ridiculous. It's not your career. It's not your job. It doesn't matter, does it? But I came off the golf course today in the most, I said you obviously know this, but in the most bizarre state of mind ever, where part of me was over the moon with how I played. Part of me was disappointed. I didn't know how to feel. I still don't really.
Yeah.
Because it's a bizarre feeling. Normally, I feel like you either play well or not so well or kind of okay. But I feel like I had moments of super highs and then obviously a couple of lows. But overall, I think for me, I've said this before, when you're playing a golf course somewhere like this or somewhere that's a dream course or with friends or whatever, the main thing is having fun.
Yeah.
But you have to play a level of golf often that can help that be fun. If you're losing balls every hole, it's not fun.
Nope.
I don't care how much you try and make it fun. It's just not, is it?
Nope.
I definitely played well enough today to have fun.
Oh, definitely. Again, without giving to something magical happen on the last, which...
Yes, outrageous.
The most bizarre situation I've ever, ever, ever seen on the golf course. But again... It makes for great YouTube video.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things that we may never know the answer about, but it is what it is.
I feel bad, in a way, talking about this episode and then not giving more away because, obviously, we don't want to spoil it. So when the episode's gone live, we'll talk
about
it a bit
lot
more in depth.
Yeah, definitely.
It was an interesting round of golf.
So at the moment, the viewers would have seen... What was the last break 75 would have seen? Close House. Which feels like a long time ago now, doesn't it? Quite a lot of, again, I honestly didn't realize I was had so many golf coaches as subscribers. I feel like I've actually got more this time.
Yeah,
like since the episode before, which was Delamere, that Close House, almost every comment is giving me coaching advice.
You know what, I've seen a lot and I kind of get it, but it's not actually that true. I think a lot of people are saying about how hard you are on yourself, and I actually don't think you are. You do sometimes say, oh, whatever, I get annoyed. But actually, I do think you quite quickly let it go. I think where you kind of go wrong, if you like, and I'm being a golf coach here, is you do chase the score a lot, which is natural to do. But like, it's sometimes you feel like it's 75 or broke, but 77 is not a bad score. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you play a bit more relaxed, good things happen.
Correct. I think what address a couple of comments I've definitely seen, or hundreds of them, is that. You're always picking out the negatives on a hole, but I think that's more me storytelling.
Well, it's telling people what the hole is, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I think sometimes if you hear me say, oh, there's out of bounds up the right and, you know, that pin's tucked behind, that's not me particularly always thinking that.
Just trying to explain to the viewer.
That's me just narrating what's in front of me. Yeah. You know, if I'm playing golf, actual golf, that's not how I think.
Well, features on a hole are always typically... things that are hard, aren't they?
You're not gonna go, there's a fairway on this hole.
Yeah.
And then there's a green.
And there's a big slope that funnels into the hole. Like, there's always going to be a bunker, trees, whatever it might be, a pond. So they're all quite negative things. But like you said, you're painting the picture.
Yeah. It is more, it's like I say, it's more just giving the viewer. And also, you know, that kind of storytelling weaving in and out. Like, sometimes I'll say, oh, and the last three are really hard holes. And people, why are you saying that?
Yeah.
But again, it's kind of for the video. It's more for... You know, not the dramatic side of it. It's more just to be able to say there's these things coming up. So again, thanks everybody for your unsolicited advice. The next two episodes,
it's because they care though, Rick.
Is it? Is that what it is?
I think it is.
The next two episodes, you'll definitely see a difference. And
he's chuffed.
And I think less golf coaches.
I think as well, though. Again, one thing people might not always realize is that when we go to these golf courses, typically, not always, they are hard golf courses, and you play it off like the furthest back tees. So it's not, and often the greenkeepers and the golf courses want the golf course to look great. Yeah. They might put the pins in slightly tricky places and stuff.
They've like so double it, cut the greens.
Yeah, it is probably harder than people think. And also, again, I think I said this before, but to break 75, you have to shoot 74, obviously. 74 at most golf courses is only two over par. So if you start with a double or a bogey early on, even if you bogey the first, that becomes so difficult.
Yeah, real
so
challenge.
So it is hard. And also this year, you're going to do what? 15 episodes or so? I don't know.
I don't think we've put a number on it yet, but more episodes.
You are going to play some bad rounds of golf.
Yeah,
you're going
to
play some rounds of golf that just kind of fell away from you. You're going to play some good rounds of golf, which we may have seen. But overall, you're going to get a mixture of everything. Right? You can't always play well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
There's a video coming out this week that everyone's going to see where I take on a young golfer.
Yes.
Who's 16 years old. Mm. He's off plus 7 handicap.
What, he's off 7?
No. So, again, if people, again, viewers, listeners might not know this. So, when you've got your handicap, what is the maximum handicap now?
Is it 54 now? I'm looking around if anyone knows. I think it's 54, but don't quote me on that.
So from, let's say, 54, as you get better, as your score improves, most people would see 0 as being that's the best you can get.
Yeah.
Like that's a scratch handicap. A lot of golfers want to get to 17, which is the average handicap of golfers that play the world. And there's obviously a huge chunk of players that want to get down to single figures.
Of course.
Like that's kind of like a premium goal. You're playing well or whatever it may be. I'm kind of saying this to explain to you, but I'm kind of if you get good enough as a golfer and you start to break par consistently, you get what's called a plus handicap. So you get a plus in front of your number. So if you let's say average go round in 3 under par, roughly, or your best, you're off plus 3. Frank Kennedy, who we're filming with this week, who's 16 years of age. When I rewind back to think what I was doing when I was 16, I was going out way too much. Yeah. My fake ID and
drinking cider on the streets.
Cider, Sambuca.
Probably fighting.
not doing what Frank Kennedy's doing.
No.
He's off plus 7 handicap.
Well, the simple way, I know people know this by now, whatever you shoot normally, you then take your handicap off. He has to add 7 shots on. Like, so he shoots a 70 gross. Oh, bad day to have had a 77.
It's absolutely crazy. So we filmed with him. We were umming and ahhing about what to do because obviously he's a lot better than I am.
Yeah.
But he's 16. So we actually decided to go with him giving me a 10 shot head start.
So you started 10 under par.
Which is what I've done with Tommy Fleetwood, which is what I've done with Lee Westwood, and what I've now done with Frank Kennedy. Even though he's not a tour pro, he's not a tour pro yet.
Well, he's played on the DP World Tour and he's the youngest, I think, either UK or England, I think it's Englishman boy to ever make the cut. He's made a cut 16 years it's old on the DP
crazy.
World Tour.
He's the number one 16-year-old in Europe.
Yeah.
And he's the number 3 16-year-old in the entire world.
I think what's mad, when you watch him play golf, you very quickly forget he's 16 because his age becomes irrelevant. You're just in awe of him. I think what's weird, when we talk about his age, I think we need to, so people realise how good he actually is. But I think sometimes you kind of think, oh, well, you're talking about him as being a good 16-year-old. No, he's not just a good 16-year-old. He is one of the best amateurs on the planet. I think his amateur ranking's at 150, I think he said. Yeah. So literally there's 140 odd amateurs in the world, kind of officially better than him. He's unbelievable. He absolutely smashes it.
He doesn't hit it like a 16-year-old.
No, he hits it. There was actually, I don't think you saw this shot, but we don't give too much away, but on the first hole, you went right and he went left. It's a par 5. And he hit it quite a long way. And he had a 7-9 left into the green. And he hit this shot and it kind of went onto the green, not too close, but onto the green. But the strike, it was that elite level of strike.
Yep.
No disrespect to a scratch golfer, because that's miles better than I am. But it wasn't like a scratch golf at local club in a 7-9. Yep. It was like a tour pro. It was that speed and that strike, that compression, the sound, the noise it even made off the face. It was phenomenal.
He hit his driver like a tour pro.
He did.
And we went to the British Masters a few weeks ago and we said, like, tour pros do seem to, it sounds different.
It does.
And even when I've been up close and personal with these best players, like, I'll hit a drive and it's sometimes hard to hear your own drive, but you can obviously still appreciate the difference. You hear them hit it and you go, it doesn't sound like that.
I think it's quite, well, it's not simple, but it's because You do. Every golf club has got a few guys who swing as fast as a tour pro. The guy might be a big beefcake or someone that's really tall and got long levers. So they may swing at 115 miles an hour, 120, which is great. Very, very fast. But they don't catch it in the middle. And if they do, it's very, very rare. These tour pros are swinging at like 115s, 120s. But catching it in the middle of the club face, but also kind of compressing the golf ball, certainly with irons as well, in a way that you just don't see at normal level golf.
From what you see, again, with tour pros, they'll hit the middle, you're right. But because of their delivery numbers, their path, their angle of attack, their...
descent angle. Face angle.
Like, there's so... It's such a straight on hit. It's not a glancing blow.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you put any path numbers from inside or out, it's more of a glancing blow where these guys are just so dialed in. And Frank had that. And the other thing he had was those really low fizzy wedge shots.
Yeah, kind of spin. They don't look thin, but they almost have that look. We can hit them if we kind of thin it a bit.
Yeah.
It's like he catches it pure, it nips. He was obviously a very good golfer. That video will be a monster. I think people need to check it out because without putting pressure on him as a 16-year-old, he will be going places, I believe.
Again, I've never seen somebody shoot the score he did and look so disappointed.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
Well, yes, it was. There were some holes where he might make a par, which anyone listening can make a par, but he'd make a par by bombing a drive a mile, in a class wedge to like 8 foot and then just lipping out.
Yeah.
So it was a par, but it was like, well, you've hit two fantastic shots there and a putt that was decent and you've only got a par.
Yeah.
On another day, those putts would be dropping and he'd be shooting flipping 59 or something stupid.
he has got that kind of mentality.
Well,
he
won the Portuguese amateur. And again, that's not like a junior tournament, the actual Portuguese amateur championship. And I think he had a course record of 8 under par. Obviously, and a venue that's set up for a massive tournament, so he can go deep.
As much as we didn't get him on the podcast this time, we actually did ask him a lot of questions out on the golf course as well, so it's kind of it's got a bit of a podcast kind of flavour to it a little bit, because he answered in quite, you know, well-spoken, eloquent, kind of grown-up talk.
It was good. Speaking of podcast flavour, how's this going for you so far?
It feels strange.
Yeah, for what reason? Still feel like it's flat, or
I think it's just because it's different location.
Yeah,
I feel chill.
Yeah,
but I don't know if I'm almost borderline too chill.
It's the kind of one where people will love it or loathe it. Well, how do you three think it's going? Ed's yawning as we speak, giving a really half-hearted thumbs up.
Matt, two thumbs up. Everyone looks absolutely.
They do look really tired and quite bored, and they're on the phones, so it's not a good start. I can't even speak. Sign.
No, I think normally when we're in the studio and it's early in the morning, normally Monday morning, we've not seen each other. We've spent too much time together. I think that's what it is. Like, we've not seen each other. What have you been up to? What have you been doing? And genuinely, I'll seem interested.
Seem interested, yeah. I'll go, what do you do? And you go, went out with the kids. I'm going, not even listening. Yeah, I did. You go on the bikes. Great. Brilliant.
Again,
went to swimming.
Dinah Falls, right. I think this time, because obviously we've been together Friday, Saturday, now it's Monday. Saturday, Sunday, now it's Monday. It's like, yeah, I think we've kind of seen
I think as well, what's frustrating, it not frustrating, but we've got some amazing stories from the golf course today. It's just started to rain outside, actually, so we made the best of the golf this morning. We've got some amazing stories from the golf course, but we can't really give them away yet because I don't want to ruin the Break 75. But it was fun.
Let's talk about, just very quickly then, getting people excited. Because I know I am now being here playing the golf course. How epic is the Open actually going to be here?
Be all right. It will be.
290,000 spectators for the week.
That's a lot, isn't it?
55,000 a day on the tournament days.
It's crazy.
It's going to be bananas.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the biggest Open in my life so far.
Yeah.
I think because it's 150 and it got delayed a year because of COVID. Obviously, Tiger, hopefully, he's going to be here. He's committed. Fingers crossed, everything's going okay with his kind of health at the moment. I think we've been a lot. So we've kind of got invested into the town. I know we've said again so many times the podcast about how much you love it up here, but we do. If you like golf, which I'm guessing 99% of people listening do, or 100% of people listening do, you will love this town. And when you've been here and you kind of see the people, the town, the vibe, it's going to be unbelievable.
You know, the big standout for me this year, from what I've how many Americans are here.
Oh, it's well, this is the first time we've been coming really this last month or two. Or when you did you come a month ago? Or
I
something?
Came, yeah. I filmed with Iona the day before, filmed at Close House.
So that's the first time since lockdown has lifted, yeah, really, where Americans are coming over.
Yeah, I went into the Dunvegan and it was full of Americans. It was really full of Americans.
You know what I learned today, though, playing the golf course again, was that there will be golfers coming who want to try and bomb it round here. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of room left and right. They will obviously grow the roughing part, so it won't be as easy as it was for us today, obviously. But even if you bomb a driving it near some of the greens, there's so many undulations and mad that you can easily 3-putt or 4-putt.
Yeah.
Some of the greens are massive as well. So it's a weird one. Like, I don't know who I think is going to win. If it's going to be a bomber that can get it close to the greens, if it's going to be someone that's super accurate with irons and get it in the right parts of the greens, that's going to be a big advantage. If it's someone with a great short game, I think you have to know how to play links golf as well, don't you? If the wind gets up, you can't be hitting it up in the air. So it's... It is a true test of golf.
You know, I feel like it favours is, even though left is your friend around this golf course, so you imagine that players who have a tendency of missing it left would be fine. I also still think it favours a fade off a lot of tees.
Yeah.
You know, to get onto the right side of the fairway.
Yeah, it does.
Like, even though left is safe and there's nothing down there, 17 is a great example for that. If you can hit a little fade and get to the right side of the fairway, you can open up that green brilliantly. But if you're hitting and going, well, left is safe, it makes it so much harder.
Well, that's what's unique here. Me and the guy, Paul, that we played with, we hit one on one of the holes a long way left. Like, stupidly left. We're on most golf courses, you'd probably be out of bounds or in a hazard or something. But we were fine because, like you said, left is your friend. And he said when we got to our balls, on most golf courses, they'd be lost, they'd be gone, but we were okay. We're actually on a bit of a fairway off another hole. But then we hit our shots in. We actually get quite good shots, but they were quite blind. You were on the other side of the hole and you were at position A. So what's weird is you can go round here and if you play okay, not even, well, if you play badly, you could actually not lose a ball.
Yeah.
But the downside is if you do miss the right sides, you're going to have much harder approach shots in. So it's exciting. It's going to be a very good one.
Because also they can really trick the pins up.
Oh yeah.
And I don't mean like silly ones, but just ones that are really hard to get close to. You know, like almost like on top of mounds.
It's got a lot of false fronts as well.
Kind of behind. Yeah, you've got those run-ups. But you could put a pin just in front of those run-ups.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's got so many elements. And as much as it's not the longest golf course, they've lengthened it quite a bit over the years. Is it 7,200 yards now? I think it is off the very backs. It's not as if it's like ridiculously long, but how it gets protected, obviously the weather, natural situations, but like you said, those kind of complexity of the greens that just makes it so challenging.
I agree. I've got some questions on Facebook. I literally just before we started, I did a post on the Facebook group.
Very good.
Quick one as well. Last time we mentioned this.
Live, it has to be.
Of course. Live podcast is on the weekend. Looking forward to it. It should be good. Quite a lot of people are coming.
Great.
So
we're going to get a train down Friday.
Yeah.
We're taking out other halves.
Yeah.
Have you got any plans? Have you got anything you want to do in London?
Watch Champions League final.
Okay. Well, you're doing a live podcast. That's really hard.
No. What do I want to do in London? That's a good question. Nothing really planned. What do you want to do?
I want to take Claire out for a lovely meal.
Nice.
I'm getting my hair cut.
That's very random.
By a barber I found on TikTok.
It's really weird.
Got 8 million followers, so I'm going to get some
clout. You want a free haircut.
I'm going to get some clout chasing.
Yeah.
He's already offered me for free.
So that's why, haven't
he? We're staying in a lovely hotel.
Yeah, that's true.
Taking your swimming shorts?
Oh, I do,
Yeah.
Swimming the Thames.
Are we going to do a 10K round London?
Yeah, maybe a slower pace though this time.
How are you getting on with your number? You're smashing it.
So, we had the 100K challenge, or 50, or 75, and you can walk it. I'm on 110, I think.
You've done it?
I've done it, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm good. I'm up to 70 kilometres so far.
That's good.
I've got 30 more to go. I'm tempted to do one this afternoon.
Oh, wowzers.
Round St Andrews
that
again.
That is brave. In the rain, but quite nice in the rain though, actually. So, that's coming up. It's going to be good. We may do more live in the future. We may not. We're not sure. A lot of people say, oh, come up to X location, do one there. We may. Why not?
I think we have mentioned as well, just a quick one on this live podcast, we're not recording it. So unfortunately, people listening or watching, you won't actually see it. But we'll be back next week with a new episode.
And we'll tell you what happened.
Yeah, yeah, we'll just say whether it was good or bad.
Yeah.
We'll rate our own live podcast.
Well, the thing is, we've not planned anything for it yet. And we didn't plan anything for this one either. And this one doesn't feel like it's going great. So let's
wing it.
We can, yeah.
Imagine if now we had a few hundred people in front of us.
Yeah, I'd be flapping. You're the definition of a winger, aren't you, really? You do wing things last minute.
I prefer to wing.
Yeah. And what's frustrating is when you wing it, it often works out better than if you hadn't wung it.
Yeah.
Wung it?
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, wing it and wung it. So this is the part now where I look at questions and I feel like I can't see anybody. Someone said, when are we going to see Rick versus Guy? Probably not, because I would play really well all the way around and then mess up at the very end and then you would win and it wouldn't be a true reflection of the game.
Let's just include this game at St. Andrews, is that?
Okay, that's fine. The first 15 holes. Oh, had you on toast, my friend. How much better do you reckon you are than me? Hand on heart now.
I don't know. Probably not loads. I still think if we had 10 rounds of golf, like probably off camera and stuff,
yeah,
I think I could still do you 7 out of 10. But I think they'll always be fairly close.
I feel like they'd be like 2 and 1 quite a lot of the time.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
I felt like though the gap was bigger in the past.
I feel like, yeah.
I feel like you've managed the way you get a golf ball around the course now. Even though it's not always pretty,
yeah,
you can do it. Where I have to almost be playing pretty golf to be good golf.
I feel like if we had 10 rounds of golf, you would have a lot more. You might have 3 or 4 close to par, which I may not have. I might have more like 4 overs. I think you might have more higher ones maybe.
Yeah,
you might have like an 88. Yeah. And I feel like I probably have still got in the locker, but touch wood, it's more going to be 83s. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think in match play, I think you'd win a lot more than probably I would.
I prefer match play anyway.
Yeah.
I would
have done well if today was match play for me, though. It might have been a good match, actually, if it was match play today.
Let's very quickly work it out.
Oh, this might take a long time.
No,
it's too long. It would have been close.
No, because there's a couple of times, oddly enough, because even on the front nine where you made good score,
yeah,
I made not a great score.
Yeah, it would have been close.
We'll work it out
another time. Someone's actually that's weird. Someone else said who would win if he played. You probably would win, but sometimes I'm struggling a bit, Rick. I should have planned really for this.
All right.
It's been a strange one.
Everyone's understood. Everyone's like, nobody's watching. Nobody's listening and watching right now.
It's we were adamant we wanted to get this one done today, so it could be out for tomorrow, which
felt
is
like
Tuesday.
We were going to bring more energy to it.
I think the lack of energy is either going to be really good or people haven't turned off. So it's a win-win because if you're still listening now, you've enjoyed it. Because if you've not, you'd have turned off.
Yeah, and if you turned off, no hard feelings.
Yeah, you won't hear this, but no hard feelings. If you're still here, thank you. Let's see how long we can just keep saying thank you for if you'll do turn
no
off.
Questions, nothing.
You have a quick look, then I flapped it a
is
bit
it Facebook?
Really. It was on Facebook.
Let me have a look. I've got this. Come on, we can pick some quick fire questions.
You'll find a really good one now. And then
I can't find the post.
A lot of people screenshotted that meme of me pulling a weird face when you missed that putt.
When's Rick going to challenge his subscribers? New series, Challenge Rick. I'm not sure if that's a good series. How much do lessons actually help a mid-high handicapper? They do. It just depends if it's a technical thing or if it's a course management thing. But I still am a big advocate of lessons. What's the best excuse to a boss at work for getting the afternoon free for golf? Or should we ask Matt that question?
Matt's getting
the afternoon off to play golf. He's going to edit the podcast. That's good. What's your thoughts on golf club membership? Do you think they could be more flexible to allow people who can't afford membership?
There are some flexible ones.
Yeah. There's one where you can like get a point system, isn't there?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, we're not talking about that company
No, because I give them a massive shout out and they said they were going to give me some free points they didn't do, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't use that one. Join a club properly because points ones aren't worth it. I'm joking, they're all right.
After Lee Westwood said Rick should have a pre-shot routine, has Rick taken this on board and tried to develop one, or do you have one but you didn't use it?
You know what? Have you got an answer to that or not?
Go on, you give your
answer first. I was going to say, you know what I feel like a lot of golfers do, and I see it in the comments from your videos, we overthink things too much. Like, you've had a few bad rounds of golf, which people have watched, which is, and they want to give their opinion on, which is great, they want to engage. There's not a great deal to it. Your chipping's been quite bad, which we've said you're working on, it's just not kind of bringing it to the course yet. Just played a bit bad sometimes. Yeah. It's not like there's not loads of mad stuff going on. It's just that, do you get what I mean? Yeah. You can overthink it. Yeah. People do overthink it. Some days you'll play well and some days you won't. When you think about golf, you're swinging a golf club, a bat essentially, to a ball. Now the ball's not moving. It's fixed, obviously. But you're swinging a club above your head and then back down. You've got so little margin for error.
At speed.
You've got wind. You've got bounces. You've got, like, the turf interaction, how the turf reacts. So much can go wrong.
You've got the fact 500,000 people will probably watch each video.
Yeah.
The fact you're playing with Lee Westwood.
Yeah.
He's quite an intimidating character. So it's quite a few factors.
There is.
Question for Guy.
Oh, okay.
Before working with Rick, did you ever watch his videos? And have you ever taken lessons from Rick? Or does Rick ever give you pointers out on the golf course?
So I was more of a Peter Finch fan.
Understandable.
I wouldn't have lesson off you because you talk crap. And no, I'm joking. I watched your videos. I always watch your videos. I actually remember, I've told you this story before, off pod, I'll say on pod. When I worked at Nike, my old job, which I talk about a lot, I know, me and my colleague used to work away a lot. We had to share rooms quite a bit, which was frustrating, but it was fine. And I used to always be watching your videos to see what you were saying about other clubs, because obviously I worked for Nike and knew all about the Nike clubs, but I wanted to hear your opinion on Callaway and Ping, whatever. So I'd watch them all. And then when I actually go back on the channel now and look at, like, the oldest videos, I was a viewer. One of the ones I always remember for some reason that's ancient. Do you remember when you got those, was it score wedges?
Yeah.
Rolled that mad loft.
Yeah,
did you even get one in like a, start like 9-9 or something or whatever? They would really...
Yeah, 42 degrees of
yeah,
loft.
Yeah, and I remember watching that one. And you look at that, have a quick look now when that was from.
That'd have been like 8-9 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, I remember watching it then. But I kind of, well, I knew you anyway, didn't I? So
yeah,
kind
of,
and used to film at, well, you film all at Trafford where I was in and out and sometimes seeing your film, so I did. Had a lesson off you.
Did?
Yeah.
Yeah,
do you remember
when
I came and you worked on my grip? And I was Matt Fryer was there, I think, weirdly. Oh, no, it wasn't. That was another time.
Yeah,
it was in your
I
bay.
Definitely gave you a lesson.
And I remember I was hitting it to the right and you made my grip a bit stronger.
Yeah.
I was killing it.
Yeah.
But I think, I know what swing faults I've got. And I also have lessons off my friend Barry Taylor sometimes and you give me tips. So, and you've both said the similar, exactly, well, same thing, really. I know what I'm doing wrong, but also it's like I'm not that fussed about having lessons because I don't really want to put the grind in.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't really ever give you any pointers out on the golf course, but I don't anybody.
No.
You know, I charge big money for that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, you know, don't just dish them out for free.
No, exactly. But I think, again, pointers, I'm not a know-it-all whatsoever, but my bad shots come from bad shots. I've played golf long enough to roughly know how to get around a golf course. I like hearing things if you like, what are you seeing? Are you seeing a six iron coming off that or whatever? Like, it's more that kind of discussion, isn't it, really?
I think the only time, I never, ever give advice on the golf course if it's not been asked for.
Yeah.
Like, if you literally stood on the tee and go, Rick, we just checked my alignment, not a problem. And I'll do that to you, we just checked my alignment. Or, Rick, we just take a video of my swing and let me know what you think. I feel like, because I'm a golf coach or golf pro, I would never, ever give advice unless you'd ask for it.
I've weirdly given you more advice. I tried to.
I just think sometimes it's like, you know, this idea, again, going back to the comments that start, I'm not asking for it. I don't need anybody's assistance or help. I kind of know what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Played 100 balls, the lowest score ever for Guy.
On a golf course, obviously. Sorry, Matt, I'm doing a bleep there. So I was just making a note at the time. Sorry. He looks really annoyed because he wants to get onto the golf course. 300 gross is my best ever. It's not amazing.
What's the next sport Rick is going to get into and then drop?
You know what I could see you doing? Like a boxer size kind of thing. So not full on boxing and sparring, but like a boxer size, buying like some gloves, getting on the pads, getting some wrist wraps.
Well, I've got into CrossFit now.
Yeah.
And I'm loving that at the moment.
Yeah, that's next.
We've had darts, badminton and road cycling. Perhaps Peloton. Nah.
No.
I've proper gone off Peloton now. Or Tempin bowling.
Is that what they've said?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. What's happened to Brooks Koepka?
I don't know.
No, I don't know. I think he's doing all right still. Right, I think that's about everybody.
Yeah, strange one.
Books you both recommend to read? Golf books?
I've still got, and it's a very old one now, the Tiger Woods How I Play Golf
book. So good, that book.
There's some really good nuggets in that, just little things, and some of it may, I've not read it for a long time, but some of it may not be seen as correct now with the information we have from like TrackMan and stuff like that, but there's some great tips in there. I always remember a line in it, because he used to always eat junk food, and then he realised how important it was to not do. And there's a picture of him eating a burger, and then a picture of him with better food, and it said something like, gone are the days where I would gobble down a burger at the turn and eat better food. And that's a weird thing. That's probably quite true. Like, obviously, you're famous for the sausage roll halfway around the golf course.
Famous for.
That's what everyone knows. But if you do have a load of bad food, you might then feel a bit worse. But that's a good book anyway. That's off topic. Harvey Penick's Little Red Book.
Yeah, it's good.
Again, very simple.
I probably should read them again, but the Dr. Bob Rotella ones are just phenomenal. The psychology ones. The 15th Club, Golf's Not a Game of Perfect, putting about your dreams or something, putting out, can't remember that one, but they're all phenomenal.
You know what I saw, I think, well, I did tell you the other day, I was in Liverpool on Friday, I went to Waterstones just for a bit of a mooch, it's a very peaceful ambience in Waterstones. Did you ever go into Waterstones?
Yeah, I have done, yeah.
And I was just walking in, and there was a golf book on the side, obviously there's lots of golf books, and I grabbed it, I was reading it, I actually read it from cover to cover pretty much, which is quite bad. I didn't pay for it. But it was something along the lines of 100 like fascinating golf courses, or something like that. And it wasn't necessarily the 100th best in the world. It was ones that have a real story. So some of them were your Augusta, your old courses, the ones you'd expect. But there's like a lot of other ones that are like random little golf courses, like in Scotland, that have like electrical wire on the greens. Yeah. The sheep eat the green. And
it's mad, that.
Random ones in China and stuff like that. And that could be a good book, because it's not only is it interesting, but it kind of inspires you to play more golf. And I think that's the thing. We're so obsessive with getting better and it has to be technical, but it doesn't always matter. Just feel inspired to play more golf. And again, where we are now, it's probably nowhere in the world where you would feel more inspired to get the golf clubs out and just go and play golf.
100%. I think I want to read a few more autobiographies of golfers.
Yeah, I've had a couple of the Tiger, biographies, and I've kind of read half of them and then for whatever reason stopped doing.
Yeah.
Nick Fowler's obviously got one. Yeah, I think I've read a bit of. I feel like
I need to read a few of these, because I feel like my golf history, I've got knowledge, but not really in depth. I feel like whether it's spending time here, I just feel like I want to know more about the history of what happened in golf over the years.
That's again the beauty of golf, that you've kind of, everyone's got a level of interest, haven't they? Some people know everything about old Tom Morris and, you know, who won the Open in 1971 and whatever it might be. Other people just play golf and aren't students of the game. But I feel like, again, being here, you do get into that world of realising how long it's been played for and the equipment, and it does make you want to learn.
Yeah, it does. It kind of I'm not super, super into kind of like architects as such, course designers, but obviously we spoke about that secret golf course that Alistair McKenzie did in Wales, that Ryder. But golf course architecture does fascinate me to a degree, like where they've put bunkers and certainly old courses. I'm thinking, how was this built? How was it all put together? It's just amazing.
Well, I was looking yesterday at the winning scores of like the Open, like the first years it was ever around, and it used to be two rounds, and it was like 90 and 88 would win.
Wow.
And you think it was like where we've got to today, and then how the golf course here was 22 holes and it got made to 18, and that's why everywhere then became 18 holes. It's like there's loads of mad little stuff like that, but there's a reason behind everything. Like the holes are certain size because it's been, you know what I mean? There's so much different stuff that you don't think of that all had to be invented.
Yeah, at some point.
And I think the more you like go down that rabbit hole of reading about it, it is interesting. And then there was that film I watched, The Phantom of the Open,
which
I talked about, with Maurice Flitwick, who was the guy that kind of got into Open qualifying dubiously. He wasn't a pro, he didn't have a scratch handicap, and he kind of said he was a pro, and he shot 120 something or whatever, the worst ever score in Open qualifying. That was interesting. That's a good film, bit of a comedy, light-hearted.
Maybe we could try and beat that record this year.
I think I could give that a really good go.
Maybe if I beat Open qualifying, shoot 128.
Yeah,
just
not out the realms of possibility. Hit your drive really well, have a little chipped into green, just keep fatting it.
Ouch.
Just annoyed that you beat me today, or maybe didn't beat me today, who knows.
Guys, thanks for listening. Strange one, but hopefully you enjoyed. Here at the Old Course, overlooking the most iconic venues in the whole of the world, here in St Andrews.
Rate today's out of 5 stars.
A podcast,
yeah, rate it out of 5 stars.
4.8.
really? Go that high from today, what we've just done?
Yeah,
wow, okay, fair play.
I think if we tell them that's what they should think.
Oh, okay.
If we say it's 4.8, they might think, oh yeah, no, it was. It was that good.
What if people rebel though? They don't want to hit it. We go, oh, it was a one star today. And they go, no, it wasn't. It was quite good, actually.
Okay, you go that way. I'll do. I'm thinking it's really high, 4.8.
Okay, I think it was quite poor today. It was only a one star.
Okay. Anywhere in between that is happy with us.
Between 3 and 5.
Guys, thanks for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We'll see you next week. We'll come back refreshed, ready to go after our mega trip to London. We'll tell you all about it.
Sorry.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.